today's gospel, our Lord bequeaths his mother to each and every one of us, and it is in today's feast that we begin to understand the mystery of why the Lord has done so. That is, today we honor the sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, those sorrows that would begin with the prophecy of Simeon in the temple, in which he would declare that Our Lady would experience the sword of sorrow, and indeed, it would transfix her and pierce her to the very core of her being. And those sorrows would begin in earnest that day, and they would continue through the flight in Egypt and the losing of the Christ child for three temples, in which Our Lady would wonder all the while, when she saw her son, would she see him as the prophecy had foretold, already crucified for our sins as a mere child. For Our Lady, in pondering the scripture, knew full well what the Christ child would suffer, and so it makes her fiat even more extraordinary. For in her fiat, she agrees to become the Mother of God, knowing that in doing so, she brings into the world the suffering servant, whom through the prophecy of Isaiah, which she was so familiar with, would have told her very clearly the mode of death that the Savior would experience. But her sorrows would continue into not knowing the precise moment that death would occur, even though she fully well understood on the night of the Incarnation what it meant to become the Mother of God, and that it would incorporate her in a unique way in the sufferings of Christ. And so it would continue throughout our Lord's early life. It would begin to culminate and come to its apex when Our Lady would meet Christ as he begins his passion on the way to Calvary. And then she would have to stand there sorrowing as our Lord is crucified for the sins of the world. And finally, she would receive the dead body of Christ and watch that sacred humanity entombed in the tomb prepared for him after suffering the death for the human race. And so, truly, we have reason to be sorrowful, but reason to rejoice. For by her compassion for Christ, Our Lady truly becomes the co-redemptrix of the world, and she begins to show us just how evil sin really is. And so she shows herself a unique cooperator in the redemption of mankind. That is, she truly is the co-redemptrix, the one who in cooperating with the suffering of Christ, merits redemption in a way subordinate to our Lord, but in yet a way in which she offers nothing by way of repairing for her own personal sin. And so her sorrows and her suffering are truly redemptive, because she has no sin to repair, and so she becomes the unique associate of our Lord in his passion. And so it is the compassion of Our Lady by which we truly begin to understand this mystery of God becoming man in order that man might, as St. Augustine tells us, become God. But that becoming is by way of the cross, and it is through Our Lady alone that we can enter into this mystery. For Scripture also reveals that many who try to climb the way of the cross on their own cannot do so, that is, the red ladder. But those who try to climb the heights of holiness by way of the white ladder, that is, by way of Our Lady, truly accomplish that which they set out to do. For as a good mother bequeathed to us this day, when our Lord bequeaths Our Lady to the whole human family in the person of Saint John, we truly accept her as our spiritual mother, knowing that is a higher order of motherhood and one that is entrusted to the Blessed Virgin alone. And so we must constantly commend ourselves and the whole human race to the maternal care of the Mother of God, for she truly is the mediatrix of all grace, and indeed, she even mediates for us the Savior by accepting him into this world and providing for him that sacred humanity by which he would offer the one pleasing sacrifice to the Father. And so, when Our Lady knows all these things would transpire, and she knows not the time, it does not diminish her sorrow one iota, but rather it increases it. And indeed, When Our Lady's presence would have been a consolation to our Lord, she is never present, that is, during the agony in the garden. But when her presence maximizes the suffering, our Savior, there she is. And so, when he begins his way to Calvary, the mother is present, and she will stand there throughout the whole time, sorrowing and weeping, but standing like the valiant woman, and thereby increasing the suffering of her son. For it is the one place that no son would desire his mother to be. But yet, while his crucifixion begins and throughout the whole of it, she is truly present there, interceding for the whole human race. And it is a very significant event when Our Lady receives the body of her dead child. For as Carol Hauschlander would point out, at that moment, Our Lady takes the Christ child into her arms, the dead Christ child, and sees all of men who have Christ dead in them through sin. She turns to the Eternal Father, offers the child to him, begging, "Father, he has given his life for them, and now I beseech you to give them life in him." And that prayer is heard by the Father, and so Our Lady truly at that moment mediates for the whole human race, both from the past, from the present, and from those who would come, all the graces necessary to work out our salvation in this life in fear and trembling. And so let us constantly turn to her who, in showing compassion on the Christ child, showed compassion on the whole human race and truly became the mother, not only the mother of God, but the mother of all. And indeed, a couple of the saints point out that Our Lady at the night of the Incarnation is already bartering with our Lord, with the Father. She is bartering, and so her hesitation is not a doubt, but rather an intercession. She barters for the whole human race. That is, she tells the Father she will accept the Christ child if he gives her more children. And in the crucifixion, that is accomplished. And so Our Lady truly is in this life, our sweetness, and our hope. Let us turn to her in her moment of sorrow, and let us have compassion on her by truly accepting her as our mother, as the Lord wished and bequeathed her to the whole human race, so that truly under her mantle we may work out our salvation in fear and trembling in this life, so that ultimately we may join all the angels and all the saints, marveling for all eternity at the mystery accomplished in Christ and his mother in this life, in order that we may honor and revere them for all eternity in the life to come.
Fructum ventris tuum.